Just to get us started, if you guys have a Bible or are able to access one on your computer, I just want to read from Psalm 46 as we talk about heaven and considering what our life is like these last couple of weeks. So Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid. Though the earth trembles and the mountains topple into the depths of the seas, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with its turmoil, there is a river, its streams delight the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is within her, she will not be toppled. God will help her when the morning dawns. Nations rage, kingdoms topple. The earth melts when he lifts his voice. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come see the works of the Lord, who brings devastation on the earth. He makes wars cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows and cuts spears to pieces. He burns up the chariots. Stop your fighting and know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. I just really appreciated the reference in this about there being a city with a river, just as John tells us in Revelation, that will one day come to be on earth with us, that even with the nations always at war, fighting with each other, all of the turmoil that goes on in life, that one day God will come in this city and bring it back to earth to be with his people, and we will be safe and secure in that stronghold that God will bring to the earth. And so as we talk about heaven, I just want to remind us, because some of this will help us answer some of these questions that you guys had sent in, that we use heaven to talk about many different things. Does anyone remember what different things we use the word heaven for? All right, so we talk about how sometimes in the Bible, the sky is just referred to as heaven, maybe even the atmosphere, or including like the stars. What else do we use the word heaven for? Yep, firmament, that's good, from Jim. What else? Sometimes we talk about heaven and we're talking about like where we go right away after we die, which again is not a bad thing. That's what heaven, the Bible talks about heaven in that way too. And says that we will be able to, that is where we will go when we die. Then we also talk about heaven being the place where God brings this new city to earth, where we will be for all of eternity. And theologically, we should probably be calling that the eternal state, versus calling it heaven, although very much that is what we are talking about. And as we look at the Bible, we see the very pictures of heaven developing throughout the entire Bible. If you see anything in heaven and you look back at the Garden of Eden, you'll see lots of similarities there, notably that there's river and there is also the tree of life there. And that God's presence is especially inside those borders. But as you go through and you see like this place that we go after we die, and as it's pictured, as people are transported up into heaven to see what God is doing, we see things that stay true from the beginning and then ultimately are fulfilled completely in the end of what God's entire plan is. And so, although sometimes we get confused, for sure, knowing exactly what the Bible is talking about, which phase of heaven or what year of heaven we're talking about, we use the word heaven to refer to a lot of different things. So the first question I have is asking about animals. Do animals go to heaven? Do our pets go to heaven? Will there be animals in heaven? Will they be the animals that we've had before in heaven? From the Bible, it does not seem as though I can give a clear answer about your specific pet. It's like, I don't know if your specific goldfish or your specific dogs will be in heaven. But what it does seem to me, if you look at pictures given in heaven, there are definitely animals or animal-like beings that are in heaven. When you see in Isaiah, it talks about young children leading lions around like pets, that they are safe from that. Now, depending, again, like what we talked about, depending on what you think that is a description of, if that's talking about the eternal state or during the millennial kingdom, if we think that those are separate, like most of us do, or what is the case there, it does seem to me that God made animals for a specific reason. He likes them. He doesn't think that they're the same as us. He made us specifically to be in his image, versus a lion or a bear. But he made animals to please him. And it seems to me that it would be strange to go into an eternity if there would be no animals. Now, that being said, there's nothing clear in there that those are animals that we have had in our life now. They might just be animals, but there will be animals for us to enjoy. I would imagine it's part of the rule that God has given over to us is to rule creation, including these animals and other parts of the planet. And so it would seem to me that there will probably be animals in heaven and that we will also get to have them sort of as pets. But we might get to expand our horizons as far as what animals can be pets. We might be able to have a lion or a tiger sitting in our front yard just being there. And we can take care of those animals and enjoy them the way God has made them. So I don't want to tell you for sure that your dog or cat will be in heaven because I'm not 100% sure. It kind of goes back to what you think about the nature of people versus the nature of animal. Do animals have souls? And that's something I can't answer because I don't see that clearly defined in the Bible in any way, shape, or form. But as we have talked about in this series, God has made us, and he has made all of creation for a reason. So in the eternal state, all of the things that God has made will meet their purpose with great fulfillment. And I think our greatest picture of that would be the Garden of Eden, the way God made the world from the beginning. It had animals. It had various animals that didn't eat each other. And that will be, again, what we will probably return to in the end. So hopefully that answers that question. Will my pet be in heaven? I don't know. Will Tomahawk be in heaven? Probably not. He's a terrible cat. But I would like to think that maybe that's just the effects of the fall, and maybe he will be made perfect. But I would imagine there will be animals for us to enjoy in heaven. All right, the second question that we got about heaven is, what age are we going to be in our new heavenly bodies? That's a really good question. That there's not really a for sure answer on that, but there are several different things I want us to consider. First is that God made us to glorify him, in however old or young we have been. So although there are babies who die before they even reach their first birthday or before they're even born, God made them to glorify him even for the short amount of time that they were alive. I want us to make sure that we don't ever think that for some reason God is not happy if someone never reaches what we would call like an adult age. Or that he's only glorified when people reach a really old age. God has made us all different and unique to glorify him, regardless of what age we are. So even as a 2-year-old, even as a 3-year-old, or as a 100-year-old, we have the ability to please him, to glorify him. And in the grand scheme of things, when you talk about eternity, when you talk about the eternal state, there won't be much of a point of age after the first couple thousands of years, especially if you consider those that have been with God for over thousands of years. They're like thousands of years old, right? So like when we get to heaven and Adam, who already almost lived to 1,000 years old, has been there for 10,000 years, like it's going to not really be a major priority in heaven. But the question really is more asking, what will we look like? What age will we look like when we're in heaven? So some people would say that you are whatever age you are when you die or whenever the rapture happens. That's just who you are. You're frozen in time, and that is what you look like for all of eternity. Some people would suggest that we all get these perfect bodies that are at the exact right perfect age, and very different people have very different opinions as to what that is. Some people would say like 24 or 30, or, you know, some people would think of it differently. And then there are some people that think that you are just going to kind of be whatever you were, and then you'll continue to grow until a certain point. I do want us to consider the fact that Jesus said that children were not a bother to him, that he wanted the children to come to him, and that if you wanted to have get into heaven, you had to have faith like a child. That doesn't mean you have to look like one for all of eternity, but it does seem to me that God is very pleased to have children running around. I don't think God would be annoyed at toddlers running around in streets of gold and, you know, diving in and out of the river. But that doesn't mean for sure that we will all be children. That's not the case. Also, like I had mentioned earlier in Isaiah, it talks about a child leading a lion by a leash. That would seem to indicate that at least in that time frame, which again, if you believe that's referring to the millennial kingdom and not the eternal state, there will be children at least in the millennial kingdom that will be around for that. But I think there's strong indication in the Bible that God is plenty pleased to have children around. And I think that there's a good chance that there will be children in heaven. Now, will they remain children for all of eternity? Probably not. Will we be reverted to children bodies? Probably not. But I do think that as God has made all of us unique, there are some of us who have a great gift and a calling even to parent children. And it wouldn't surprise me. This is not from... I'm not pulling it from the Bible, but it wouldn't surprise me based on who I see God to be and what our life is meant to look like if we get to heaven and there are all of these babies that need parents, you know, for the first, you know, 20, 30 years that we're there, however that might be. But what we do know is that age won't really matter. And what I mean by that is a lot of what we refer to as age is really about the curse and about how our bodies are decaying. So it won't matter, again, in the long run, because we're all going to be thousands of years old. But that won't matter because our joints aren't going to hurt. Our back is going to be fine. We might end up all with white hair, and that's totally okay, but we won't feel like we're old. We're going to be in a new body that doesn't have the effects of the curse. And so it's kind of like a weird question to ask, what age will you be? Because time is so weird in heaven, and in the long run, after a couple thousands of years, we're all going to be really old, but not nearly as old as God. And so I don't know for sure if we're all going to get like our 30-year-old bodies or if we're going to have the body that we have now. And some people are like disappointed about that, either because they're struggling with overweight or with addictions of sorts. But the cool thing is, even if you started with whatever body you have right now, like even if you're not like convinced that this body is the perfect body that God intends for you to have, you've got plenty of time without the effects of the curse, with no pain, to work on it. So, like, we'll be in heaven. We'll only be eating food that is good for us. We will only be doing things that are exercise that is good for us. So, in the long run, it will all work itself out. But in the immediate, when we get changed, when our bodies are raised from the dead, God will perfect our bodies so that we are no longer suffering from the curse. And whatever that means to age is God's problem to figure out. But I wouldn't be surprised if there are babies in heaven for a time at least, or kids running around for us to enjoy, just as God has animals in his kingdom. All right, so moving on to our next question. We have a question that is based on some reading someone has done. There are some authors who like to suggest that heaven is closer to earth in some places other than others, and that you know, as you go higher and higher, maybe where the air is more thin, you feel closer and closer to heaven. And so the question is heaven really closer to some parts of the world than others? I think poetically, yes. I think thinking artistically, thinking through, you know, when you go to a place that hasn't been impacted by people destroying things or putting things in place, and it's more like natural, I think most of us would go to a place like that and say, hey, I feel like this is more like heaven. And you know, maybe it's a beautiful waterfall or a lake, or maybe it's a mountain, or for some of us it's beaches. I think that experientially we feel closer to heaven in certain places, but I don't think in actuality, in like real terms, that heaven is actually closer in those areas. I think that what is happening is there are parts of our reality, our world, that we are responding to that make us feel closer to heaven because we're not distracted by other things that are happening in the world. Probably, I would doubt, I mean, I love cities, but I don't feel like I'm close to heaven when I'm in a city, when I'm in traffic or where there's, where we're waiting for the subway or anything. I don't feel close to heaven in that way. But when you go into creation, where you go into the woods or into different parts of the world, sometimes we feel closer to God. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think that that's a bad thing. But there have been, I know of a couple people who say, like, when I'm out fishing, I feel closer to God than I do when I'm in a church, right? Or when I'm out hiking, I feel like I'm walking with God. I think those things are able to be used for our advantage, but I don't think that doing those things are actually getting you closer to God unless you're using those moments to pray or read your Bible. Those are the tools that God has given us to get closer to him and closer to heaven. But I don't think it's terrible if we say, like, oh, I'm out in this beautiful location and I feel like heaven is, like, this is like heaven on earth. I think it's a good picture when we go into the world and we see places like that to remind us of what heaven, the promise of heaven is going to be, to see those things. And then to even imagine in those moments where we think, like, oh, this looks like heaven on earth, to say heaven is going to even be better than this, because this spot, although it is gorgeous, has been impacted by the fall, at least in some way or another. And so heaven will be even better than that in the long run. All right, the next question is, when I think about heaven, it makes me miss people, and sometimes it makes me feel sad. So what do I do with that? You know, a lot of us have had loved ones that have died who have gone to heaven based on what we believe about what the Bible tells us that they needed to believe. We believe that they're in heaven. But for many of us, thinking about heaven makes us think about those people, and that makes us miss them and makes us feel saddened by the fact that they are no longer with us. So the question being, what do I do about that? I think many of us, as a coping mechanism, would say, like, oh, we just won't think about heaven. We won't worry about it. We'll just pretend like we're not doing that. and that will save us from pain. But the Bible tells us all the time that we should be considering the kingdom of heaven first about all of our life. So I would say that we need to think about heaven quite a bit. But what do we do with the fact that sometimes it makes us miss those of our loved ones who have gone on before us? I would say in Hebrews, it talks about there being a great cloud of witnesses in heaven who have run this race before us, who are cheering us on to keep following after God. And I think that we need to consider the fact that these people that we love, that we wish were still with us, are not just, quote-unquote, in a better place, meaning like they're not in pain anymore or this world is so terrible, at least they're not here, is to consider that they are enjoying being who God made them to be, that they are now in the presence of God, fully doing what he made them to do without the effects of the fall or of sin. And so although we might be saddened that we miss them, we should be super happy that they are finally getting the opportunity to completely be who God made them to be, that we can see, that they can see everything that God had done in their life to get them to that point. And then to consider that they are there cheering for those of us who are here left on earth to finish the race and follow after Jesus. It's a hard thing, and I don't think that God ever intended for us to not be sad in a world that is broken like this. And so I don't want to ever tell you, like, you shouldn't feel sad if you miss someone who's in heaven. But what you can tell yourselves are some significant truths about those people who are in heaven. One, they are not living in this broken world anymore. They are overwhelmed with the presence of God, and that they get to now be who they were supposed to be. And that they would not want you to miss them and feel sad that they have to be in heaven and you have to be on earth. In fact, the Hebrews tells us that what they want you to do is to keep running the race until you come to be in heaven. And then I think the only other thing that I would say maybe in this topic would be to consider that heaven isn't about us. It's not about humans. It's about God. And so to be saddened by the fact that we have lost someone that we love and they're in heaven sometimes means that we're focusing too much on humans or us or them versus God. All of heaven is focused and is about God, and we talked about that last week. Even the precious jewels and the gold are transparent so that people outside the city of heaven can see God in the city of heaven, that heaven is all about God. And so we need to take into perspective our entire lives, not just here on earth, but our eternal life, that our job, our goal is to glorify God. And they get to do that in heaven now. And we get to have the opportunity to do that while we're still on earth until God takes us to heaven. So I don't know that any of that advice will make you not feel sad. And I don't think that's the point. There's a reason why when we all get to heaven, God will wipe away our tears. There won't be any more sorrow. There will be no more pain, that we will get to enjoy the presence of God forever. And then the last question closely related to this is, can the people in heaven currently see us? Like, do they know what things are happening on earth or what's going on for us as loved ones? And maybe do they watch their funerals and things of that nature? Do people in heaven watch us kind of like TV? I think, again, based on that passage in Hebrews, that they are at least part of the time aware of what's happening on earth. I believe that God probably opens up windows into our existence from heaven. I think it would be hard, based on what we've seen about heaven, for beings in heaven to not see what's happening on the earth unless God makes it impossible for people to see. Because angels are always seeing what's going on in the earth. They interact with the earth. All these other beings do as well. People, I know, are different than angels, but it seems like when you're in heaven, heaven is constantly looking at earth. And so it would seem like people in heaven have the opportunities to see earth. But let's just be realistic again about the fact that heaven is not about earth and it's not about us, that they are probably preoccupied quite a bit with the fact that they're in the presence of God. That I don't think people, like, if I were to die and I would go to heaven, I don't know that my first thought would be, hey, God, cool to meet you and all, but I'd like to see what's happening with my family back on earth. I think that the experience of meeting God face to face would take massive priority. But I do think that God likes to let people and beings in heaven see what he is doing on the earth. So I would say that probably people in heaven do see what's happening on earth. I don't know if they get the option to do it at will, or if they would ask God, like, hey, can I see? Or if God would just say, here's what you need to see happening on earth. But I do believe that people in heaven probably know more or less what's going on in the earth. They might even know more about what's going on in our lives than we even do, because they can see it from heaven's perspective versus our perspective.